Says Mishnas Rabbi Aaron, Rabbi Aaron Cutler. Rabbi Aaron Cutler Zatzal, of course, was the founder of the Lakewood Yeshiva, a big Talmud Chacham, someone who didn't really, and I say this very respectfully, didn't really get American Jews and American people, but he came here and he built Torah, and it worked, Mamish worked. And again, we wouldn't be sitting here today. The level of learning in America would not be what it is today, if not for Rabbi Aaron Cutler. There's a story that one time he was invited to some parlor meeting to speak on behalf of like some tzedakah organization. I don't think he was speaking for Lakewood. And he gave, so what do you do? Like when you go to speak at a fundraiser, you know? See, a nice little vart on the parsha. Something that that Balabatish people come out to hear, you know? Rabbi Aaron spoke for like an hour and a half. And he did some, I forget what sugya was, some very complicated sugya at the beginning of Bava Basra. And he just, it's like, of course, everyone wants to hear a very in-depth lamdish shir. But there were two men who were sitting there, these two brothers who were there, who were business partners, who at that time still kept their business open on Shabbos. And one of them said afterwards, after hearing that shir, I'm closing the business on Shabbos. His brother wasn't as quick but he convinced his brother to close the business on Shabbos. So he said to him, there's no way you understood that shir. Not possible. There's zero chance you understood Rav Aaron, right? You could be like a top guy in Lakewood. You had a hard time following that shir. There's zero chance you had a clue what he was doing. You never learned anything. You don't know anything. You can't read a pasuk chumash. So the guy said, it's true. I didn't understand what he was saying with his mouth, but with his eyes, he was telling me to stop working on Shabbos. As he was giving this with his eyes, he was telling me to stop working on Shabbos. And I heard it. I heard what he was saying with his eyes. And he convinced his brother to close the store. Rav Aaron was mamish tzaddik and a kadosh and a huge Talmud Chacham. Okay, so let's learn a little piece from a sefer on Chumash called Mishnas Rabbi Aaron, and it begins as follows: Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Nasa V'Nishma. Okay, let's learn two pshatim in Nasa V'Nishma, and the second one will connect to Purim. Okay, he starts by quoting Gemara in Shabbos: Bisho Sheikdimu Yisrael Nasa L'Nishma, in the small print, when the Jewish people said the big chiddush of Nasa before Nishma, Yotza Baskol V'Amra. Baskel came out of the heavens and said, "Mi gila levanai roze, shemalachay asharas mishtam shembo." Who taught the Jews the secret? Who revealed the roz? Who revealed the secret that the angels use? Right? Meaning, an angel is able to do before he hears. By the angels, it says ose, that they're osa before lishmoa, that they do it before they hear. Who taught these people, these simple people who came out of Egypt a couple of weeks ago? How did they know to say nasa before nishma? What person in the right mind, right, the Gemara says, I'm trying to remember who it was, maybe it's Tzeduki said to Rava, that the Klaisel is an Amma Paziza, they're a foolish people, that they speak before they know the full facts. If I come to you and say, I'd like to make you an offer, you say, sold. Okay, great, you just sold me your house for $1. Right, you don't know it, you have to hear the facts. What's the deal? What's the plan here? The God says, okay, let's talk about the Torah. Sold, Nasa V'Nishma, we'll do it. Sign the contract before we even know what the arrangement is. So Rava is approached by I think it's Tzeduki in the Gemara, who says, you're an Amma Paziza, you're a hasty people, that you speak before you, right? You're crazy people. But Hashem says, no, it's a secret. You figured out the secret of the angels. What's the secret of Nasa V'Nishma? What's so great about Nasa V'Nishma? That everybody, wow, Nasa V'Nishma. It's such a chashuv thing. They said Nasa V'Nishma. So let's see. So Rav Aaron says, Tupshat. Okay? He says, V'hinei. Hagdamas ha'asiyya lishmiya, ein hakavana lishmiya satzivoy. Of course, when we say that Nasa comes before Nishma, it's not possible to do it before you know what you're supposed to do. You can't do it before you hear the commandment, right? You can't keep the laws of the Torah until you know what the Torah asks of you. So of course, Nasa before Nishma doesn't mean that they didn't want to, they're going to do it before they hear it. They have to hear it in order to know what to do. That's not possible. And even by the angels, it's mefurash that what? That they're osei dvaro, that they do His words, meaning even the angels hear it before they actually do it. What's the chiddush of Nasa V'Nishma then? Again, you can't practically do something until you first know what it is. So what's the chiddush of Nasa V'Nishma? So he says, two pshat. Harei she'etzem adibur k'farhai. Also by the angels, you see, even by the angels, right? They do what they're told. Ela da'ashmiya koleles havanas hadvarim alamitasim. Shmiya, Shema Yisrael, doesn't mean hear, O Israel. It means understand, Jewish people. Shema Yisrael, understand. Shmiya here means what? It includes understanding the truth of the matter. What does that mean? V'zeu acharei hanasa. If you want to understand Shabbos, You can't explain Shabbos. You have to experience Shabbos. If you want to understand the pleasure of understanding Gemara, right, pleasure, I don't know. You talk to some lawyers. I went to law school. We also studied tort law. It wasn't, I wouldn't call it pleasurable. It was interesting, maybe. Right? The only way you can understand that pleasure is if you immerse yourself in it, if you try it, if you experience it. In Ruchnias, you can't understand the pleasure until you've tasted it. Right? And that's what it means, nasa before nishma. V'zeh achare ha-nasa. After you do it, ha-karas ha-anyanim hu achare ha-siyah. The appreciation for a mitzvah can only happen if you're willing to try it. If you're going to stand outside of it, and you're going to say, first explain it to me why this is interesting, why this is meaningful, why this is important. You'll never chop it. You can't understand it. You have to try it in order to understand. I think I told you once, the Maharal, so I wanted to say for the Maharal was approached by a candidate for conversion to Judaism. And he said to the Maharal, I don't like the whole mikveh thing. It kind of creeps me out, you know? I guess like getting a bris didn't creep him out, but going into a body of water, a swimming pool, creeped him out. So I don't like the whole mikveh. I don't like that. It doesn't make sense to me. So Maharal said, listen, you know, part of the conversion is a non-Jew goes to the mikveh to become a Jew. So he says, yeah, but you have to explain it to me. I don't get it. So he says, I'll make a deal with you. You go to the mikveh, and when you come out, we'll sit together. Maharal was as big as they get in terms of the great Bali Machshava of the last 500 years, right? So go to the mikveh, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. I'll teach it to you afterwards. I'll teach you all the Kabbalah, the secrets of the mikveh, Kavanas HaMikveh, the reason why God created this Indian called the mikveh, how it transforms a person to become a Jew, go into an environment where you can't survive, and go into a body of water, man can't breathe underwater, and then you come out, you're born again. That's how the Sefer HaChinuch explains it. So he says, go in, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. Okay. So he goes into the water, he comes out of the mikveh, right? And the Maharal says, okay, now I promised you, let's go have a chavrusa now. So he says, you don't have to explain anything now. So once I was in the water, all made sense to me. Right? That's Nasa Vinishwa. If you do it, if you try it, if you immerse yourself in it, then what? Then afterwards you'll come to appreciate it. And that's what Rav Kotler says here. V'har goshas hatam, to be able to feel the pleasure of it, to taste it, hi achri akiyum. You can't understand spiritual pleasure if you don't try it. You just can't explain it to someone. You can't explain the feeling, yeah, of saying halal holding a palm branch. But if you had a good halal on sukkahs, you know it feels geschmack. But you can't explain it to someone. By holding a lemon in a palm branch makes you feel there's a geschmack you get out of that. It's very hard to put it into words. And that's Nasa V'nishma. Okay, if you do it, then you'll come to appreciate it. I always like to compare it to the Dr. Seuss book, Green Eggs and Ham. For those who remember that book. Remember the book? Green Eggs and Ham, the whole time he's refusing to taste it. I will not eat them, Sam I am. I will not eat them on a boat. I will not eat them with a goat. I will not eat them in a house. I will not eat it with a mouse. And then finally at the end he tastes it. And what happens when he finally tastes it? It's gewaldic. It's great. It tastes great. So a Jew also, when it comes to Ruchnias, you feel like, nah, this is not my thing. Davening with Kavanah is not so much my thing. Learning is not so much my thing. Right? Tzedakah, it's hard to give tzedakah. Everyone has their thing that they think is not their thing. But when you try it, and you try it, and you immerse yourself in it, right? Then ta'amu re'u, like David HaMelech says, that's where Dr. Seuss got it from. What a treat. David HaMelech says, ta'amu re'u, taste it and you'll see kitov Hashem, that Hashem is good. But it's experiential. That's Nasa V'Nishma. If Nasa, if you do it, then Nishma, then you'll understand. The Rebbe of Alexander, the Yismach Yisrael, says this is the pshat in the Pasuk, in Tehillim, that we say before Tkiya Shofar. By Tkiya Shofar, we say a series of psukim before we blow the shofar. One of the psukim that we say is Tuv Tam V'Das Lamdeni. Tuv Tam V'Das Lamdeni. Kiva Mitzvosecha Ha'amanti. What does that mean? Tuv tam v'das lamdeni. I've come to understand and to taste the sweetness of your mitzvos. You know why? Ki v'mitzvosecha ha'amanti. Because I did the mitzvos with emunah. I didn't understand them. You can't explain Shabbos until you experience Shabbos. You can't explain the feeling of kedusha a yid has when he comes out of a mikveh until you go into the mikveh. So there's certain things that are experiential. You have to throw yourself into it, and then it'll make sense. Okay, that's his first pshat in Nasa V'Nishma. Do it, and then you'll come to Nishma to understand it. But then he says a second pshat, which Mamish has a deep connection to Purim. Let's read the second pshat, second paragraph. Ach ikar ha'inyan, bakdamas nasa l'nishma, hu shahayu nechonim l'chol asiya terem yishma'u v'yavinu inyan hadvarim v'hatolda. The real commitment of nasa v'nishma v'yid, which we've lived with Mamish throughout history, is that we're going to do things for Hashem even when it seems really stupid, even when it makes no sense to us. Right? Not just that you can't understand it intellectually, the pshat, and we're going to have times in life where a Yid feels like I've been working for Hashem and it's a dead end path. And Hashem says, Nasa, keep going, Nasa, keep doing, and I promise you, you'll find that Nishma. You'll come to understand how all the suffering and all your struggles and all your ups and downs, it mamash makes sense at the end. Ba'ofen shel lefi sichlam ha'enoshi, yesh al zeh kushios rabos. Nasa, what? How did I get into this mess? Hashem says, you have a lot of questions, I understand it. Nasa, keep going, do, keep doing. And you'll see the questions will fall away. But they continue to do for Hashem, to trust the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to go. As the Pasuk says, what's a great example of it, says Rav Aaron Kotler, when they're standing at the Yam Suf. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisau. Tell the Jews to keep going. Keep going where? We have the water in front of us. We have the Egyptians with their weaponry standing behind us. Right? We're completely trapped. Some Jews said, let's commit suicide. Some Jews said, let's turn ourselves into Mitzrayim. Right, different kitos by the Yam, deciding what to do. And Klal Yisrael, Matitzak Eli, stop crying, just keep going. You'll see it's fine. What's fine? Where's fine? There's no fine. We're completely trapped. V'lo yadu, v'lo hevinu, keitzad yinsalu al yidekach. And they said to themselves, where's the hatzal? There's no way out. It's game over. Nasa v'nishma was the commitment that the Jewish people made at Har Sinai, that whenever we feel stuck, you got to keep trying. There's got to be a window. There's got to be a doorway. What do you mean, keep going? Go where? Go into the water? How's that going to work? But there were some Jews who kept the Nasa V'nishma, before Nasa V'nishma, of course, but they kept the attitude of Nasa V'nishma before their eyes. V'nachshon kofatz tchila, and Nachshon led the way into the sea. V'zeo asiyah kodemus l'shmiya. That's a Jew's commitment to do, even when it makes no sense. But Hashem says, keep going. All right, God says, keep going, we'll keep going. There's water in front of us. We're up to our noses in water before it split. But Nasa before the Nishma. They kept going. And then, Desilku Lagami Hachishuvim Shelefi Sichla Manoshi. They removed completely the calculations, all the cheshbonos, based on their mad-made intellect. V'asu Mashin Etztavu. And they did what God said to do. They trusted that this is not a dead-end path. In fact, it's going to lead to unbelievable Yeshua. V'achare Shekimu Asatziva. And after they did Nasa, Hare Nivka Hayam V'nasu Sham Harve Nisim. What a moment before was what? Was the most terrifying moment maybe in Klal Yisrael's history up to that point. Became mamish the biggest hatzal in history. The biggest simcha. Mishnah Berurah says if you say az yashir with a simcha, it removes all of your averos. It's mamish one of the highlights, right, of Pesach and Bechlal, the whole Yeshua from Mitzrayim. The way that the Orach Chaim HaKadosh explains it. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the first words that God ever said at Har Sinai. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem, your God. I took you out of Egypt. I physically took you out of Egypt. But how did Hashem set us free emotionally? How do you get out of base of Adam? How do you get out of an enslaved mentality? Right? If you know, God forbid, imagine a person was sexually abused, yeah? And you know that creep who took advantage of you is still somewhere out there, yeah? So you live in fear. You've taught the people who have suffered abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, whatever type of abuse. If they know that their oppressor is somewhere out there still, they're scared. They're scared they're going to bump into this guy walking down the street. Not that the person is going to do anything to them in public, but just knowing that that cruel person who harmed them is still out there, it's mamish oppression for them. They live enslaved by that. So the only way to set Klal Yisrael free is to what? Is to kill the Mitzrim right before their eyes. So they thought, this is the worst moment ever. We're trapped by the sea, Egyptians behind us, and water in front of us. There's no way out. After everything we've been through, this is how we're going to die? There were Jews who wanted to commit suicide. And Hashem says, Dabriel b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael, keep going, Nasa, keep going. And then what happened? The same Yam that was so oppressive and so scary to them, mamish became the thing that set them free. They walked through Nisim v'Niflos, unbelievable Yad Hashem before their eyes, v'avru b'yud be'ezrachim, each shaved walking in its own path, all sorts of delicious fruits and magnificent things that were taking place as they walked through. They had a clarity in God like never before. A simple Jewish woman by the sea was able to have levels of nevuah greater than Yecheskel HaNavi. And they crossed through, mamish singing Shira. And what was on the other side? As they got out, they saw the Egyptian bodies washed up on shore. And they were mamish free. They knew the Egyptians could never get them again. You know why? Because they're dead. So they didn't have to live in fear. Maybe one day they're going to come and take us back. Chain us to you know, chain us to one another and schlep us back to Mitzrayim. The bad guy was dead. So the thing that was so scary, mamish became the greatest source of joy. The vina hafachu of Kriyas Yamsuf. And that's mamish the Indian of Purim, and that's the pshat of Nasa V'Nishma. Nasa V'Nishma is keep being a Jew, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer up the questions. Hopefully, sooner than later, and even if not in this lifetime, Mashiach comes, that's the first thing Eliyahu is going to do. Tishbi yitaretz kushyos v'abayos. Answer up all the questions of history. Yeah.
How do we learn Sefer Achinuch? Can it be dangerous to be looking for reasons?
So it's never the real, right? The way the Rav Soloveitchik explained it, the Sefer Achinuch calls it the shoresh of the mitzvah. Shoresh means the root of the mitzvah. It doesn't call it the tam of the mitzvah. It doesn't call it the reason of the mitzvah. We don't know the reason for a mitzvah. The reason for the mitzvah is because God said so. The Rambam by Tkiyah Shofar. Why do we blow a shofar? Because God said so. Oh, also to wake us up to do tshuva. But the real reason is because God said so. So when the Sefer Achinuch offers reasons for mitzvahs, he doesn't call them reasons. Soloveitchik pointed this out. He calls them shoresh. Right? It means that the mitzvah is somehow rooted in this concept, but don't you can never say, you're right, you have to be careful. Never, God forbid, to think this is the be-all and end-all of the mitzvah. Okay? So, Chabad, now let's see how this is mamish the same Indian of Purim. Nasa V'Nishma, yeah?
Kimu V'Kiblu.
Beautiful.
Then you're
first you're Mekayim it, and then you're Mekabla. Beautiful. I wasn't even going to think of that. That's good. That's very good. Kimu V'Kiblu, right? At the end of the story, Kimu V'Kiblu. First they were Mekayim it, first do it, and then Kiblu, and then understand it. Beautiful. Look at the first Svas Emes on Purim. Okay? Turn on to the other side of the page. The very first piece of Svas Emes on Purim, Taf Resh Lamed Aleph, 1871. Okay? Take a look. It's Govaldi. And it's such a yesod in life. The thing that was your scariest thing can become the greatest source of joy. It's not always easy, and it doesn't always happen right away. I can mamish say it about myself. That, for those of you who don't know, if you're new in the shir, I was sick, I had cancer a couple of years ago. I had lymphoma, and I went through a lot of treatment. It was a dark time in my life. But I mamish feel more alive today than I possibly could have had I not gone through that. So the thing that was mamish the scariest moment in my life is the greatest source of feeling chiyus in my life today. Klai Yisrael felt trapped at the Yam. This is it. This is the worst moment in our life. Vina hafachu became shiras hayam, the best miracles they ever saw. The greatest feeling of closest to Hashem. Zek keli vanveyo. It's complete vina hafachu. So look how Purim, the scariest moment, maybe really in Jewish history, when Haman's gezerah was issued, became the biggest mishenech nasadar marim besimcha. This week we enter into Chodesh Adar. So look, let's look inside. Al kain karu leyam me'ela Purim al shem hapur. Why is the Yom Tov called Purim? Al shem hapur. Because of the lottery. Okay, so let's look at this for a second. We mentioned this the other day in the Shvili Pinchas piece we were learning. Right, the question of the Bnei Yisachar. Why call the Yom Tov Purim? Purim is what Haman wanted to do to us. Purim was the moment of destruction, or so it seemed. U'mashma she'ikar ha'neis tol la'bizeh. They called the Yom Tov Purim al shem hapur. This implies that the primary cause for the nes was the poor. No, it wasn't. The poor was the cause for the suffering. Again, he says the name of the Yom Tov must be the essence of the Yom Tov, but how can we call the essence of the Yom Tov Purim? What, the lottery was the essence of our salvation? That's not true. Kikasha, havi le'lameimar, pur lama purim. This is really a second question. This is how I understand the Svas Emes. Hard to read Svas Emes. Question number one is the B'nai Sassar's question. Same question. Why is it called Purim Bechlal? The poor, Haman's lottery, was the downfall of Klal Yisrael. That's Aleph. And Beis, why called Purim? Plural. Lots? Plural? How many lots did Haman make? So you could say the Pashup Shat is what? That maybe Haman spun the dice or rolled the wheel several times, right? He picked the month, then he picked the date. Okay, it could be. But again, even the pasuk's hard to understand. They called it Purim, plural, al shem ha-pur. So why Purim? If it's poor, so why wasn't the Yom Tov called poor? Why Purim? So Svas Emes says such a beautiful yesod. Ach shegam gorel Yisrael. When Haman spun the wheel, and he thought he was a winner, we were the lottery winners. The gorel was ours. What does that mean? No, it wasn't. Va'af kilohi pilu pur. And even though Klal Yisrael didn't spin the wheel, but we won. Achazeh ha-pur, shekesha ha-gorel shelahem, la-hashmid, la-abed, kol ha-yehudim, v'zeh i-efshar. I'll explain what this means in a second. Memela nefach le-tov, v'gorel shelahem, hu-gorel shelanu be-emes. What was Haman's tragic mistake? Haman's mistake was that he wanted to kill every Jew. Why is that a mistake for Haman? Because there's no such thing as killing every Jew. There's a guarantee that Klal Yisrael will live on. What's implied by the Sfas Emes is very scary. If Haman would have been satisfied to kill 25% of Klal Yisrael, it would have worked. We were in bad shape, and it would have worked. If Haman would have killed 75% of Klal Yisrael, it would have worked. If Haman would have killed 95% of Klal Yisrael, the mashmaos is it could have worked. But Haman decided to go all in. All his chips were down, yeah? I want to kill all of Klal Yisrael. Lahashmid, Laharog, Laabid, Kol HaYehudim. That's not possible. So let me ask you, if Haman says, I plan to kill 50% of the Jews, or if Haman says, I plan to kill 100% of the Jews, which is scarier for Klal Yisrael? Which is scarier? Obviously, 100% of the Jews is much scarier. But what we didn't realize, 100% of the Jews is dafka the thing that saved us. If it would have been 50%, 50% of Klal Yisrael would have been murdered. It's dafka because it was the most scary thing of all. 100% of the Jews. But that's what created the Vinahafachim. The scariest moment, dafka became the source of joy. You understand? Let's read the words again inside. You have to see how to learn these. Sfas Emes is very hard to read. You need someone to train you how to read Sfas Emes. I had this chus to train under Rav and Tinek, who taught me a little bit, so I can maybe try to explain it. Achshagam gol Yisrael hai. Again, what was the lottery of Klal Yisrael? Va'af ki lohi pilu pur, ach zeh hapur, shekisha gorel shalahem. Since their intention, Haman's intention, was lahashmid la'abid kol ayhudim, v'ze'i efshar, and killing all of Klal Yisrael is simply not possible. Memela, therefore, it had to be nehafach letov. The whole thing got flipped over. V'gorel shalahem, hu gorel shalanu be'emes. And therefore, what looked like the greatest victory for Haman became the v'nehafach, the greatest failure for Haman. And what looked like the scariest thing for Klal Yisrael became dafka the thing that would save us. It's mamash v'nehafach. I said yesterday at Shal Shudas, the Gemara says in Psachim Daf Nun, that Olam Hafach Ra'isi. Remember the story? It was one of the tzaddikim in the Gemara died, and he came back, and they said, what did you see? Right, he was revived. What did you see in the world of truth? Psachim Daf Nun. What did you see there? So he says, Olam Hafach Ra'isi. I saw an upside-down world. The things that are on top in this world are on the bottom in the next world. Things on the bottom in this world are on the top in the next world. Yeah. The nations of the world that are so powerful and so oppressive to Klal Yisrael look so big in this world, and we seem sometimes smallest of all the nations. But in the higher worlds, we're the biggest, and the big powers of the world are nothing. Vina hafachu. Olam hafach ra'isi. What's really cool about that statement in the Gemara, olam hafach ra'isi, that's mamish how the eye works. The eye is olam hafach ra'isi. When the image enters the eye, it's inverted, it's upside down. The brain then flips it back over so that you see it straight. So mamish, olam hafach ra'isi, I see an upside down world. Why did Hashem make the eye that way? Why did Hashem make it that the image comes in inverted and then has to be flipped back over? What's the pshat? The pshat is Hashem is trying to teach you, don't be so quick to think you see things the right way. You think being trapped at the Yamsuf is bad for you? Don't you realize this is going to be the ultimate chayrus for Klal Yisrael? Kriyas Yamsuf? You think Haman's decree against 100% of the Jews is the worst scenario? It's the best scenario. Vinahavahu. That's I see the world upside down. I don't have perspective. The Gra writes in his parish on Megillas Esther, in the fourth parak, the Vilna Gaon says that when Haman made his decree, it was Evel Gadol LaYehudim. What does the word Evel mean? Avelus. What does that mean, Avelus? It means that Klal Yisrael were mourning themselves. When Haman made his decree, they said, okay, we might as well sit Shiva for ourselves. We're dead. This is it. The king signed off on it. Ahasuerush, the ruler of the civilized world. This is it. Game over for Klal Yisrael. The Gra says, Evel Gadol LaYehudim means they were mourning themselves. They sat there mourning themselves. Because there's no way we could survive. And the irony is that, again, had it been a 50% plan to destroy Klal Yisrael, it could have worked. But because he wanted 100%, it didn't work at all. But of course, a Jew needs to what? Says the Sfas Emes. A Jew needs to daven. And a Jew needs to hope. But again, Haman basically tried to do the impossible. And vina hafachu. V'chein kasov benutzach asher heini. And this is what we say in the tefillah, that we say after we read the Megillah, Pur nehafach lepurim. A lottery became lotteries. The actual nusach that we say is Pur Haman nehafach lepurenu. Haman's lottery became our lottery. What's the pshat? The thing that he thought was the best, and the thing that we thought was the worst, mamash vino hafachu. Mamash the exact opposite. And that's where Aaron Cutler's Yesod in Nasa v'Nishva. Nasa means you got to keep going. You get stuck in a question, you can't move. Avraham Avinu had a question, he didn't get stuck, he kept going. Kedus Yitzchak. How can you tell me to kill my son? You just promised me Yitzchak's the future of Klal Yisrael. It's a big question. Nasa got up early, Yash came out from Baboker, and he hit the road. He kept going. Lech lecha me'artzecha. Leave your homeland. Where am I going? I don't know where to go. Avram, lech lecha, just go. At the first words of Torah, Rav Yosef Engel says, the first words, right, the first words of Torah ever spoken are lech lecha. It wasn't the first time Hashem spoke. Hashem spoke to Noach. Hashem spoke to Adam Rishon. But the first words of Torah Rav Yosef Engel has in one of his Sfarim is lech lecha. Which means the first words of Torah is what? Gotta keep moving. Nasa v'nishma. Kimu v'kiblu. Yisrael. Kimu v'kiblu. Good pshat. Kimu v'kiblu means kimu, just keep going. Be mekayim it. Just do what you gotta do. And then kiblu, then it'll all make sense. Eventually it all makes sense. A yid has to keep pushing. He has to keep trying. Says this Sfas Emes. V'zeo be'emes goda hanis. Shemasha agorel mora alav. Shehu she'ateva tzarech lios kein. Right, the irony of the Goral is the Goral seems to be chance. It seems to be a completely random. And yet, there was a Metzias, there was a Teva, there was a natural reality that Klal Yisrael have to exist that overcame that. The confusion of Megillas Esther, right, is on the one hand, God's name doesn't appear in it. Everything looks natural. It seems random, right? But it's really being controlled by Hashem. So it's Teva and Nes, mamish interwoven with one another. It's Teva and Nes together. And that's how a Jew is supposed to live his life. To be able to realize that the things that look like just a bad, you know, a bad patch in life, bad bump in the road, to realize, nah, it's a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Nasa v'nishma, keep going. Da'abriel b'nei Yisrael v'yisau, just keep moving. Yeah? The whole tachlis of Yitzias Mitzrayim is Nasa v'nishma. Rav Meir Shapiro, Lublina Rav, the founder of the Daf Yomi, he says that the gematria of Yitzias Mitzrayim, let's do it. What's the gematria? Yitzias Mitzrayim. How much is Yitzias? $5.11. And Mitzrayim is? Yitziat is $5.11. How much is Mitzrayim? How much? No. No? 380? So what is that? 5.11 and 380 is what? 891. So says Rav Meir Shapiro, the Lublina Rav, the founder of the Daf Yomi, how much is Nasa v'nishma? Nasa v'nishma. Let's check it. No guessing? Nasa? How much is Nasa?
425,
Nasa. Okay, and Nishma?
$395 plus
6
is
401. Yes, that works. 891. Okay, so Yitzias Mitzrayim is going to your Nasa v'nishma. The whole purpose of getting out of Mitzrayim, if you think about it, when did they really get out of Mitzrayim? Kriyas Yam was when they really, that was the final touch. It's like Ryan Cutler said, but they learned that the Yam is just, you got to keep moving. Yitzias Mitzrayim is, the limit of Yitzias Mitzrayim is Nasa v'nishma. Rabbi Meir Shapiro said it, the whole point of getting out of Mitzrayim is to Makabal the Torah. But it's deeper than that we're saying today. That Yitzias Mitzrayim, leads to Nasa v'nishma. Kabbalah. Okay, I'll end with a maisa. I don't think I told you this maisa. It's a really good one. Who did I tell it to recently? I know I told it to. I don't think I told it to. After the war, at the end of the Holocaust, there were these two Yidden who survived, and they were released from their concentration camp. But there was nowhere to go. You think, oh, great, now we're free. Like, free for what? Our families were killed. Our homes were taken. There was mamish nowhere to go. But they were free. It's an ironic type of freedom. And it was about a month before Pesach. I told you this, Maisa? I did?
Shh.
Anyone else know what I'm talking about?
When did you say it?
Shh, I don't know. I told this?
It was a shout.
Okay, I'll tell it again. Oh, I was in a Shabbos. Maybe that's.
Yeah, in the Shabbos.
Alright, I'll say it again. Let's say it again. Oh, I said it. Yeah, I just said it. Okay, I'll say it again. For those who didn't, have to understand. It's a good mice. Anyway, so these two Jews, they just got out. Namish were just released from a concentration camp. A month before Pesach, nowhere to go, nothing to do. It wasn't safe in the streets. There were still Nazis roaming around, murdering people in the streets. Anyways, they found this righteous Gentile farm where we took them in, and they're hiding out in this barn. And again, it's like an ironic feeling because on the one hand, Pesach's right around the corner, is Man Chirusenu, and it was Man Chirusenu. They were freed. They're saved from Hitler, Yimach Shemo. But they weren't so free. They're still living, hiding in a barn. They had lost their family members. They had no plans for Pesach. You know, they weren't going to some hotel in Florida for Pesach. It was a rough time. Anyway, so a couple weeks before Pesach, the farmer comes to the barn one day. There's a secret knock on the door. And they say to him, listen, you've been so good to us. You've been so kind to us. You give us food. You take care of us. It's almost our holiday. Any chance you can get us some flour? We want to bake matzah for Pesach. All right. I'll see what I can do. Guy comes back a couple days later. Secret knock. Opens up. He's got flour for Pesach. They're overjoyed. You know, whatever. They'll scrap together. They'll bake matzah. You know, matzah oven or anything like that. But they'll figure it out. They'll make a little matzah. So they're baking a little matzah for Pesach. And again, they're trying to feel the cheres. It's a very strange mix of emotions. What are they going to do for Mara? So this Yid who told this story, he said, we felt that we were putter for Mara that year because our lives were so bitter, we were Mara. Your mamash were one. Our lives were Mara. But they got some Mara. Got some, I don't know, romaine lettuce, horseradish, whatever they used. They got some Mara. The problem was kosher wine was completely out of the question. There was zero chance they were getting kosher wine. That wasn't happening. Okay, so what are you going to do? You have to have a Seder without wine. Which is sad. How do you have a Seder without wine? Four cups of wine. That is the cheres of the Seder. Right? The Nitziv explains why wine. Why not four other things? Because every cup of wine that you drink, you feel more loose. You feel more free. Yeah, so Nitziv says, when you drink one cup of wine, v'tzesi, v'tzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti, each cup you drink, it transforms a person. So how do you have a Seder without wine? And Pashut, how do you have a Seder without wine? Right? I mean, like, what do you actually do?
Use mashka.
What do you do if you don't have? Use mashka, yeah. Make some potato vodka for Pesach. No, what are they going to do? Use oranges? Yeah, as the farm fails in Tropicana. Well, seriously, what are they going to do? How do you make a Seder without wine? If you don't have wine on Shabbos, you can make Kiddush on B'challah. Right, but how do you what do you do? How do you run a Seder without wine? Kaddish, where do you start? What do you do? They're very tzabrachim. So one day, mamash, like 2 days before Pesach, the farmer's son comes to the barn, and he says, Chevra, and I have something for you. All right. So he says, I was outside in the field today. I was out with the cows. And it was a very windy day. And a strong gust of wind blew by. And some papers were blowing through the field. And he said, I picked up one of the pieces of paper and I looked at it to see what it was. I don't know, maybe Nazi propaganda literature. It was still after the war. The world was Iraq. Garbage men hadn't come around in a while. There's a lot of stuff in the streets. So the papers were blowing by. So he said, I grabbed the paper and I looked at it and it looked like Hebrew letters. I thought maybe, you know, maybe it was, it was a piece of a prayer book or something. I thought maybe you guys would want it. And he gives him this piece of paper. And they're looking at this piece of paper. Now, just try to think for a second where this piece of paper came from. Yeah? Some Nazi Yimach Shemo went into a Jewish home and who knows, maybe killed people on the spot, took this with such a Nazi rage, took the Svarim off the shelf, threw them on the floor, started ripping apart the Gemaras, the Svarim, threw them out in the street, burnt them in the street. Yeah. Amish Svarim, they were targeting Torah also. As much as they were killing Jews, they were killing Torahs in the street also. Yeah, so imagine this Nazi, Yimach Shemo, he's ripping apart Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, he throws it all out in the street. This fellow, his name was Yudel Zeligman. He looks at this piece of paper, and he sees it's a page of the Shulchan Aruch. Aruch Chaim Simin Tov Pei Gimel. That's what it was. Aruch Chaim Simin Tov Pei Gimel. The guy, what happened to, tells the story. He says, Aruch Chaim Tov Pei Gimel. And I looked at it. What is Aruch Chaim Simin Tov Pei Gimel? The halachos of how to make a Seder without wine. What do you do for Pesach if you don't have wine? How do you run a Seder without wine? And Imamish said, he said, so many people after the Holocaust lost their emunah. And it's chas v'shalom for us to judge. Never, ever, ever could we begin to judge what people went through. No idea the tzaras that people went through. I heard myself from the Struchina Rebbe. He said that Yidden who went through the Holocaust and lost their Yiddishkeit afterwards, they're judged by a separate Beis Din in Shemayim. It's a different thing. Totally different cheshbon. But this fellow said, I got such chizik in emunah when I realized here was this dark time. At the same time, it's a time of celebration. I just got out of concentration camp. It's Pesach. It's Man Chirusenu. Right? And I'm feeling trapped because I don't even know what to do. And I'm trying to move on. In that dark moment, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm still out here. I'll send you the page of the Shulchan Aruch that you need to know how to run a Seder. It's such an unbelievable story. So Mir Tzashem, we should realize in life, it's such a big yesod. Nasa v'nishma, kimu v'kiblu, Yitzias Mitzrayim's Gematria Nasa v'nishma. The whole tachlis of our lives is to be Jews who understand that we're just going to keep going. We're going to go weiter, take a few more steps, and then Amir Sashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'na Hafachu, Olam Hafachu Ra'isi. to realize that our eye sometimes tricks us. We're really seeing upside down. It's mamish programmed into the guf to see the world upside down. But if we could try to have a Purim Dikah perspective, then we'll take all of the tzara of life, and Amir Tzashem, Yishnech Tzadar, Marim B'Simcha, will be able to have a Simcha Dik perspective on all of life's tzaras. Okay, Chavar, we'll stop here for today. Shkayach.
Thank you.
We should practice what we preach. Easy to say, hard to live.